Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast, a podcast about expanding your creative capacity. Each week, we interview inspiring creatives to help you grow your freelance career. All right, let's get into the episode. Welcome to the Closer and Closer podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Andrea Mejia Madriz, and I'm part of the Artist Marketing and Partnerships team here at Closer and Closer. This week, we have a very exciting guest and my beautiful co-star here with me, Dave Arcade. Welcome back to the pod.
Thank you. Co-star. I like that. I am an artist on the Closer and Closer roster, but enough about me. Our guest today is an artist and illustrator based out of Berlin. He works for editorial clients, illustrates beer labels, gig posters, skateboards, t-shirts, album covers, and much more. His clients include the New York Times, Google, The New Yorker, Facebook, Rolling Stone, Nike, and Patagonia, and many others. His art has been featured in numerous exhibitions throughout Europe, Mexico, USA, South Korea, Australia, and Singapore. Please welcome Binay Rollman.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Welcome, Binay.
The extremely talented Binay Rollman, I should say.
Thank you.
Welcome, man.
Welcome. Yeah, not welcome. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Nice to talk to you guys.
Yeah, I'm so excited to finally have you on. You're one of the artists on the roster that I don't get to talk to as often. So I'm really excited to kind of like dig into more about you and just like your work today. I'm very excited.
Yeah, you're a mysterious one. I went through your Instagram and I had to go back to 2015 to find a picture. Now I'm looking at your face. You're like a handsome dude. You got cool facial hair.
Come on. You know?
For those of you that I guess, you know, are listening to the podcast, unfortunately, they don't get to see what we're seeing. But yeah.
Well, now all they know is that he's handsome with cool facial hair. That's all they need to know.
True.
Oh, thanks, man. You have very cool facial hair, too.
Yeah, it used to be darker, and then I went freelance, and it turned white.
Stress of the lifestyle really got to you.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm running my own business. I need to stop fooling myself.
Love it.
Yeah. I don't like showing my face too often because I think it's about the art on my profile. So I don't know. I don't do it usually, but I will. Yeah, I will. I think I will post some portrait photos.
Why not?
That a good photographer did. So because I like the photos very much.
Yeah, love it. Send them over so you can use them too.
Yeah, you have, 15,000 followers and we're a bit similar in that we're just like, hey, this is just about the art and we kind of keep our personal lives out of it. But apparently all those people that follow us like to know about us, unfortunately. I wish they didn't.
They do.
But they can find out in the podcast now. So
Now you can just
maybe they need to dig a little bit deeper.
Instagram.
If they really want it, they can work for it.
Yep.
Yes.
Awesome.
You can find some awkward stuff about me on the internet. I think if you dig deep enough, so.
That's the challenge for the listeners is to go find the awkward stuff by Binay.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, I just want to dive into it and kind of, I feel like this is a very basic question that everybody asks, but I think it's an important one. I want to hear kind of just about like how you got to where you are today in your creative journey and also kind of tied to that, like what some of your initial inspirations were to start creating.
I think my first inspiration came from, or at least the first one that I really remember came from fairy tales because my grandfather, so I spent a lot of time at my grandparents when I was a kid. And when we used to sleep over there, my grandfather read he often read fairy tales to me and my sisters, like when we went to bed. And he was really good at it. And they also had like a very nice illustrated big fairy tale book. And those illustrations were really inspiring, but also the stories were really inspiring. So we also spent a lot of time then drawing at the kitchen table of my grandparents' house. And we started drawing, so we, my two sisters and myself, we started drawing like scenes from these fairy tales. Then later my mother read like the Neverending Story to us. So we we started to draw the characters from the Neverending Story. And then later I started, when I was able to read myself, I started reading comic books, and then I started copying the characters from the comic books and so on. And then later mangas and animes and then graffiti. So I always found new things to draw. And so I tried out a lot of things, and I think through the repetition and I think that's where I got where I am now. So I just kept going and going, and drew a lot.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think it's so interesting because, like, as you were saying, each little nugget of inspiration, I was like, oh yeah, like I do see that in his work. Like, now that you mention it, but it's just such an interesting, like, amalgamation of them all that, like, it is hard to pick out on your own as, like, not knowing that these are where they came from, you know?
Yeah. There's like, I'm not going to say I'm not saying there's not a direct translation from our past guests' influences to what they draw, but what you mentioned, like, totally makes sense with your style. Like, when you're like, oh, this fairy tale book, I'm like, yep, I can see that. And you're like, oh, comic books, like, yep, I can see that. Which is very cool, you know, because that's like you're actually influenced. Not that other artists aren't influenced. They are. I just don't know if they're honest about what their influences are. Let's just say it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let's just think about that for 10 straight minutes with just solid silence. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure all of our guests have been honest with us. But yeah, I love that. Like, I would love, like, I could totally imagine picking up like an old like fairy tale book from the secondhand store and opening it and just seeing your style in there, and like,
totally,
you know, people having these cool headdresses or like holding these artifacts with stripes on them, and you're like, oh, like with stars on them and like some rad porcelain thing that does magic with smoke coming out of it.
Dave's got a whole idea of percolating now.
Yeah, it's like a whole picture you just drew there.
Well, I mean, it's from your style. Like, I really love your style. I mean, I love all of the artist's style, but you do lines and color, and I do lines and color. So I'm naturally going to have an affinity for what you do, you know? And, I think in my notes, I put that it reminds me of like a psychedelic graphic novel, and you've somehow like nailed this color palette that seems to exist in like the 1990s and the 1960s, and like merged them together somehow. Like, I don't think you've ever made a piece where I'm like, oh, the colors are way off. Like, they always nail the colors. I love your color palettes. Super rad combo. And of all the things I could ask about like where you get your ideas from, I'm almost ashamed that I'm focusing on this, but I have to know, like, you always have these really, I feel like you put as much consideration into your borders and like the overall presentation as you do like the main piece of the centerpiece of your work. Where do these borders come from? Like, where does this like sense of presentation come from?
Well, that's a good question. I don't really know if I can give you a good answer, but I always love to draw like a lot of details, and I just love to dive into a drawing and just lose myself in this drawing, and then just adding details here and there. And it used to be even more, like, I think my work from like 5 or 6 years ago, especially my personal work, was super detailed, and I cut out little pieces and glued them on there, and it was just I just love spending time adding details. But I think probably the inspiration comes from from all the books that I've seen and the museums that I went to, and just from the old, like, from old books and from old art, and because especially books, they used to be so beautifully illustrated, like, a couple of hundred years ago. Like, every page was hand drawn, and you were wondering like how many days did the person spend to paint this, or in or churches where you have like ornaments everywhere. And I've always been fascinated, and I always liked this old design aspect much more than the modern design. You know, I was always drawn to, or I am still very much drawn to vintage design, typography, and ornaments. And so I always look a lot at these pictures, and I think it just comes naturally that I would use those in my work as well. So I think the first piece that I remember really using like a very complex border was like for a carpet design for an exhibition. So the artists were asked to design like a carpet or like a tapestry, like a wall tapestry. And then those tapestries were actually produced in like 2 to 3 meters. And so I thought about these old carpets. So I started to draw a very detailed piece. So it stayed with me. So I think it's just very much, it's a lot of fun to draw these things.
Yeah.
No, that's really cool. I know exactly what you mean about kind of hanging with a piece and then maybe leaving it alone for a day, but then going back to it and being like, oh man, like putting this design element or ornamentation around it would be really cool. And then you're like, I don't know if I want to do that work. That's going to be, and then you start to do it and you're like, oh, that's exactly what this needs. And then you're like, well, I created these little boxes. This could be a checker pattern. And like going through and just adding like that sort of, what is it called when like around a dish and you like create, like when you have like a main course and then you have the, what's it called on the edges?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It's like if you go to Sizzler, it's parsley.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the word too, but it's not coming to me.
Okay, so you know that the word is there. Anyway,
yeah, it's
so
like when
fun
they put lettuce on a plate and you're like, I'm not supposed to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except your stuff is way cooler than lettuce. In my question, I had mentioned that I have a Pinterest board just with a ton of old Mason art, but that's sort of like, I started doing that board a few years ago and it probably led to a lot of the things you're talking about, like old architecture and the way that we used to like decorate windows, like the outside of the window, like the, you know, just all the filigree and cool stuff that went around there. And there is a lot of like those Mason pillars in your art. And I know you're not saying like, oh, I'm a Mason, but like the two pillars and then, I think it's actually Jashin and Boaz, to be honest, which was part of Solomon's temple. And then it turned into this Mason stuff, but like the two pillars and the boxes with the circles. And then in the circles, you can put like fire and like a tiger head. I don't know. I love it, man. I think it's rad.
Thank you. By the way, I really love your work too. I think it's insane. It's in a very positive way. It's really insane.
Oh, thanks, man. No, I appreciate that. That means a lot. Usually our guests tell me, they're like, your work is stupid. I'm like, that's so rude. I'm like interviewing you. And they're like, yeah, well, your work's not. I'm just kidding. No, like, anyway, I appreciate that.
But no, they probably talent. Mean it in also in a positive way. It's like, it's so good. It's stupid. Or it's so stupid. It's good.
Yeah. Actually, I have got that compliment. Your work is stupid good. So I appreciate that, man. It means a lot coming from you.
And I think it's so interesting, like hearing you talk, Binet, as well. There were so many parallels to like what I've heard Dave say before of like zooming in and getting lost in the details and like, you know, all of that stuff. And, you know, he was saying he has some of the similar like Pinterest boards of inspiration that really shine through in your work. And it's always so cool to me because obviously like I'm not a creative. I like don't come from a creative background and I don't have a trained eye, but it's always really interesting for me to hear like the parallels between our artists' work and like how they create their work, because it always comes out looking so incredibly different. Like I would never look at both of your work and immediately be like, oh yeah, like those guys think of the same stuff, you know, or like they're going through some of the same things as they're creating. But it's really cool to see that, like, that those parallels, those commonalities between all of you.
Now we're going to expect an essay where you have to compare our work. Like, oh, I see the parallels.
Those were always my least favorite essays to write in school, to be honest, was when, like, I don't know if this was a thing everywhere, but we would randomly have to do, like, art analysis and, like, look at two pieces and talk about how they were similar. And I was always like, I don't have the eye for this, but I've learned from you guys, which is cool. Yeah. I think I could do a better essay now.
You're way better at this than you think, by the way. Like, looking at work and seeing what it's about.
I hope so. I would hope.
One more thing that just came to my mind. One thing that now that I'm thinking more about this, why I'm putting all the details in my work is probably, I think, what's the word pronounced? Horror vacui, like this. I think it's a Latin expression. It's like the fear of like emptiness or like leaving something empty. So, because I remember like one of my first editorial pieces, I had to fill like a whole page, and then I had this idea of this I don't really remember how it looked, but it was like a character and just some elements, and then I just didn't know how to fill like all the space, you know.
Yeah.
So I just put like the person or like the character in the middle, put like a frame around it, and then an outer frame. It was very very full of ornaments, and then I had to fill like the space in between with just some decorative stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably where this all came from, because I just needed to fill space, and I wanted to make it look good. So
yeah,
and I didn't know how to fill all the space, and I wasn't really, or I think I'm still not so good in like you do, for example, Dave. You have these like landscapes and a lot of perspective, and I'm not so good with this. So my work is like really flat, you know. So I rarely use this foreground background thing. It's mostly like a central image and then just stuff around it. So
no, but that's what I love about it. You have like these like your borders are especially like these mini moments of perspective where it's just like it drops back just a little bit, and you have like the flat art, which is kind of like how a relief is done, like a carving on the surface of something where you have these moments of perspective. But dude, I love talking to the artists because you guys are all brilliant. Every single one of you guys are brilliant. That's an understatement. Every single one of the artists are brilliant. That's one thing I've realized. Drew's done a good job in collecting us. But I also get to learn about myself. You just said, what was the word you said that was in Latin? It just blew my mind.
It's
the word
horror,
itself.
Like, yeah, horror, vacui. Oh. It's like V-A-C-U-I.
Okay. The fear, and you say it's the fear of having empty space.
Yeah.
We both suffer from this. Like, it's a real thing. Like, it's not like we suffer, but when I'm sure that you and I feel the same way. Like when we're making something, the empty spaces do suck. And I totally get that. Like, that's part of the negative space is part of what makes a composition beautiful. And like the artist on our roster, his last name Sprague. I don't want to.
Yeah. Calvin.
Yeah. Calvin. Gosh. Sorry, Calvin. Like, he's really good at the use of negative space. But, you know, artists like you, me, Alejandro, or David Loiter, like, see that empty space and there's something painful about it. And we're like, I gotta put something there. And it works for us. But I love that there's a word for that, man. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I really love work that uses negative space, and I really like very minimalistic work. But
it's totally.
I just can't do it. You know, it's just not for me. I really like it, but I don't want to do it.
I've tried it, man. I've been like, you know what, Dave, why don't you just lay off this? Like, I cannot do it. It would look dumb. It would be like a bunch of detail, and then not your work would look, mine would look dumb. A bunch of detail and then empty space, and it would just look unfinished.
Yeah. Do you think that fear for you, Dave, specifically, because I'm just thinking about it, do you think it could come from working on murals? Because I can see that, like, when you're making a piece that is so large, you know, any, like, obviously when you're working on it, it's not like that crazy big. So you're like, oh, a little empty space here. But then when you see it blown up, you're like, oh my God, there's a hole.
Yeah, definitely. That's actually a really good observation. I think it does, because that's kind of where I started with this whole thing, was getting thrown in the deep end on doing murals for the Nickelodeon building back in 2016 or something. And yeah, like if you leave an empty space, you'd be like, well, what are you doing? Like that's, you're wasting like 3 square feet of space. Like you got to put something there. So yeah, probably did come from there.
Because Binet was also saying, like, you know, it happened when he was creating a piece that was going to fill a whole page, which
You
know, on a smaller scale, when you're used to doing editorial work, like that's a big space. And you're just like, okay, there's a hole there in the page. And like, this is my page. So I got to fill it up.
Yep. But Calvin would look at that and be like, he would figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, no, it needs to be empty right here. And you're like, totally.
Like, it makes sense, bestie.
Just two different mindsets.
Kind of pivoting from this conversation, I kind of wanted to talk about your client work, because it's really interesting to me. And like, you work on a lot of different kinds of projects, but they're all like really cool. Like, they're just like very, I don't know how else to describe it other than cool. Like skateboards and apparel and gig posters, that's all like very cool, interesting, fun stuff to work on. Packaging labels. Do you, like, how did you get into this niche? And like, are you conscious of it? Like, do you try to only stick to this kind of work? And also, like, what are some of your favorite kinds of projects to work on and why?
I think I didn't really try to get these kinds of jobs, I think. So I didn't think like a couple of years ago, oh, I really want to design this and that. And then I would make work, like personal work, that you could use for this kind of stuff. I think I just always did what I like. I just made the work that I wanted to create. And then after a couple of years, somebody started to think, okay, yes, this would look nice on a t-shirt, or this would look nice on a skateboard. And then I would get like one commission in this direction, and then followed by this, there would be like another person asking for this. And so so it was just like building up over time. But I think what was most important was that I always just did what I like to do.
Yeah.
And I tried to especially, like, for example, a couple of my favorite collaborations, like in the past 1 or 2 years, were illustrations for a Mexican food truck, for example. That was like one of my most favorite collaborations so far, for El Taco Truck. And this was based on some personal work that I did, which was inspired by Aztec and Mayan and Mexican art. So they saw these pieces, and they thought, okay, wow, this looks like the colors were like popping, and then it was Mexico inspired. So they hired me to make illustrations for this taco truck. And I think this way has always worked for me so far. So by just like doing what I like to do, and then eventually somebody will hire me to, and will pay me to do this.
So,
I've been really, really lucky and happy and grateful for all this amazing work. I would never, like a couple of years ago, if you would have asked me, I would have said I will never work for like Apple or Facebook or like these big companies. But also, I would never think that I would see my art like on a snowboard or on a skateboard.
Yeah.
Or bands like Fish. Posters.
Yeah.
Or Krungbin. Is that how you pronounce their name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I love that band. Is that how you say Krungbin?
Yeah.
Like, when I first heard them, I was like, this is the vibiest band I've ever heard. And dude, you did a poster for them. Like, when I saw that, I was happy, but I was also like really, you know, when you're jealous, but you're happy for the person, you're like, oh, I wish I could do one too. Dude, like those are, that's really like flattering, especially, you know, musicians are so picky. And those are some of the coolest bands in the world who are like, no, we want this guy to do our art for us.
Yeah, the funny thing is, a friend of mine showed me like Krungbin. So he said, "Hey, listen to this band; they're amazing." And then we listened to them together, and I was hooked immediately. And then I started listening, and then I followed them on Instagram, and I saw all this cool art. And like 2 weeks later, I got an Insta message from the bassist of the band, from Laura Lee. Mm-hmm. And she asked me to do the poster. I just couldn't believe it, because I just discovered them 2 weeks ago and became
a fan. Wow.
And then I could do the poster. That was like really nice.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so cool when things cosmically kind of line up like that. You're like, this is so weird. I just discovered them.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially like, if you're going to get hit up by anybody in that band, you want it to be the bassist. Like, I secretly wish, like, my wife made me aware of this notion that, like, when we first got married, she was really into Chris Hemsworth. And I was like, well, why don't you go make out with him then, if you like him so much? She's like, no, you don't understand. I don't want to make out with him. I just like the idea of him liking me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah. No, I can. Okay. And I have that same thing with the bassist of Krungbin. I just want her to like me, like her to be like, oh, yeah, like I'm really obsessed with this guy who's way older than me, who lives in Utah, named Dave Arkay. It's like, yeah, I have a crush on, like, I want that.
Yeah.
The bassist.
I love
I'm
that.
The bassist.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Vinay's like, I'll hit her up for you. You guys can chat. Yeah. Be besties.
Well, it'll probably happen anyway. Let's be honest. No. Yeah,
Sure. Sure. I've just been in contact with her 2 weeks ago. So.
Yeah. I think you have a better chance than I do, but you know, that's they could have chosen me, but they were like, no.
Yeah, I think he's already where you want to be with the bassist.
Yeah, exactly. Damn it.
If she's listening.
Maybe they will. I mean, maybe like in a couple of weeks they will contact you to make a poster. Who knows?
Well, this white beard to the ladies is like catnip.
Is what?
Did you get catnip? Do you know what catnip is? I don't know if that crosses. It's so catnip, at least I'm sure you guys have a word for it in German, but it's that stuff you give cats. It looks like weed. It looks like marijuana. You just like put it on the ground and they go freaking crazy for it. Like they put their face in it. They roll up. You never seen a cat eat catnip, or like, have either of you guys ever given a cat? It's amazing.
I've never done it, but I'm aware of the idea.
Like,
I'm allergic to cats, so I will never get one.
Yeah. They go crazy for it. Like, they literally go nuts like a zombie.
I love it.
Okay, so you mean your beard is for women? Your beard is like...
Yeah, I was being sarcastic. It's I don't think there's anything that's more off-putting to the female species than a white beard.
I wouldn't sell yourself so short, Dave.
It's fine. I'm good. I had a good life.
You talk like you're ancient.
I feel ancient sometimes.
You're like 40. You're like probably like 42 or something.
I'm in my 40s. I've told this story before. I once messaged Drew and I was like, am I the oldest artist on the roster? And he just responded, yep.
Oh yeah. I think you mentioned that in the David Lloydert episode. I think.
Yeah. I was like, I guess there's no way around it. You know, like, yeah, it's true. But it's just the was way really
Drew,
mean.
That's
yeah,
the
enthusiasm
is just like, yeah, yes.
Yeah,
but just because you're the oldest doesn't mean you're old. So
yeah, that is true.
I love that. That's true. You know what? Little nuggets of wisdom like that I've really come to appreciate. And we're going to talk about how you're a dad here in a bit, but I'm convinced that you can't get these nuggets of wisdom until later on in life. Like that thought,
yeah.
Just because you're the oldest doesn't mean you're old. Sounds simple, but to arrive at that thought takes a lot of years.
That's true.
I can't wait.
You probably have to be old to have these thoughts.
There's wisdom in what you said. I'm a big fan of little wise sayings. Anyway, I'm rambling. Let's talk about kids. Are you cool with that?
Sure. Yeah.
Right on. I have kids. And how many kids do you have, if you don't mind? Are you a new dad?
Yes, I have one son. He's 3.
That's a good age. Mm-hmm. They're so cute at that age, man. I like to imagine.
It's also a bit annoying, but it's very. he started to become really funny, so he makes me laugh a lot. But he also makes me, I don't know.
Yeah,
makes me. Yeah, I get desperate sometimes.
No, dude, I hear you, man. Like, you can't stop them at that age. Like, if they want to cry, they're going to cry. You know, like, we're in line at the airport a few days ago, and my wife had some Go-Gurts, which is yogurt in a tube, in her bag, in case the boys wanted one. They're way too old for this stuff, but we're about to go through security, and she's like, oh, crap, I have these Go-Gurts, and I took them, and I threw them in the trash that was next to us, and everything was fine. It's like, we don't have to deal with this problem at security. But I was like, man, if my kids were three or younger, they would have totally started crying because they don't understand TSA and security, and that you can't have, you know, tubes of things filled with goo. And I just was thinking in my head how things have changed, and they totally would have started bawling. It's like, oh, you threw my Go-Gurt away. Because you're dealing with an unreasonable tiny person, right?
Yeah.
So I totally know what you mean. It gets better and worse because the cuteness goes away.
How old are your kids?
So my oldest son is 17.
Oh, wow.
And then I have a 9-year-old and a 13-year-old, I believe. I think that's how old they are.
Natalie, Gabe, why are dads like this? My dad, every time we go anywhere, he has to ask me what year I was born to buy my plane ticket. And I'm like, Dad.
Yeah. Well, it's a number, right? Like, numbers kind of just go out of your head.
No.
Yeah, not really?
Not really, no. Yeah.
For me, like, they
maybe
do.
That's just me. Then.
Maybe for you, yeah.
No,
no, it's a dad thing. It's a dad thing to not know how old your kids are. Also, the joke, I don't think, Binay, you've gotten here yet, but maybe when your son's a little bit older, we can have this discussion again. But there's always jokes on, like, TikTok about how dads, like, you will bring up somebody that you've been friends with your literal whole life. Like, my best friend from, like, when I was 10 to now, I'll bring her up, and every time dads are like, I don't know who that is. They're like, who? They're like, who is that? And I'm just like, dude, you've known her for years. I only talk about her. I don't know why you don't remember her.
Yeah, that's true also. Well, it's like your kids' friends are stupid. Just like, I don't know, was that somebody important? Like, whoever they are, like, they show up. Like, I don't want to be too, but I can only be specific here. I have my son's best friend is actually a really cool kid, but he pulls his socks up all the way to the bottom of his knees. I don't know if he does this anymore, but, like, he has his own style, right?
Yeah.
Which I've come to appreciate. If you ever hear this, Jonas's best friend. I shouldn't say my son's name. Damn it.
Okay, you've said it before.
Okay. But when I first saw him, I was like, oh, this kid's an idiot. Because his socks are pulled up. But again, I've come to totally appreciate this kid. So, wow, I'm really being rude. Anyway, let's get back to your family. Let's get back to you, Binay. I'm very sorry. In my notes talking about kids, like, I kind of describe them as this imagination factory. And, you know, like, I remember when my sons were born, I couldn't help but make art about them, put them in my art. Like, they just sort of inspired me. Now, not all kids do this, but what's been your experience with this connection with inspiration and kids and being a dad? Like, has it inspired you? Has it pushed you different places creatively?
It definitely has. Especially when I'm drawing with my son, you know, when we're just sitting down and putting some papers on the table and just some felt tip pens or whatever there is, or crayons. He would just draw this stuff, you know, that the 3-year-olds draw or 2-year-olds. And I always use these very thick kit
those are cool.
pens, you know. I would never use those, but then I just sit down and I just start drawing something, and it's like every time I do this, I get like new ideas, and I get sometimes I even like I drew some things that I even could use later on in an illustration work, for example, because because I think I don't know what it is. I mean, sometimes I try to draw in my sketchbook to just because I know that when I just start drawing without thinking, new ideas will come out of it eventually. Mm-hmm. But I often just don't do it. You know, I just don't sit down and just draw. But when I'm spending time with my son, which I would be doing anyway, then I suddenly got the time, you know, to just sit there and to just draw what comes to my mind while he is drawing his things. And then I always keep these papers on my desk or wherever, and then I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks later I pick them up and look through them and I see something. Oh, this character is nice. I could use this for this or that, you know. Mm. And that's probably like the most inspirational moment that I had with him. Or I mean, he comes up with his own stories and characters, or he just started to draw his own characters, and they are really funny. Just like they look like big potatoes with with, I don't know, crazy faces and very short arms and legs, and it's just really funny what he's coming up with. So in this way, it really has inspired me. Yeah. Also, like reading all these kids books and watching these kids cartoons, and there's always like a source of inspiration somewhere. So.
Yeah,
yeah. The cartoons are huge. Do you guys watch Adventure Time?
Yes.
Adventure Time. Yeah. I mean, I've watched it, but I haven't watched it with my son so far.
Yeah.
He wants to watch Paw Patrol all the time.
Maybe yeah.
A little bit of a different demographic.
Mm-hmm. You kind of have to stick with what they're into, and you're right. Adventure Time comes a little bit later, but I'm glad that you've seen it. Like it's stuff like
so
that.
Inspirational, crazy inspirational. Yeah.
It's so good. It's too good. It's too good.
Yeah.
That thing you're talking about, man, you just spark some memories of like when I used to do that. You almost draw like. Do you kind of feel like when you're doing this, like when you're drawing next to your son, that you're kind of drawing stuff that you hope that he'll like? Like when you show it to him, you're like,
oh yeah,
you'll get a laugh out of him. Yeah.
That's
so cool.
I remember that, man. I don't know. All bad things seem to happen to my version of being a dad. I don't know if that goes, it went away from me. If you can keep that, that's gold like that. Even if when they're older, like whatever it is that they sparked, what he's sparking now, hold on to it, man. I don't know. You're talking, I'm like, holy crap, I don't draw that way anymore. And I miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably, I don't know. I'm not sure if I will stop doing this, but probably like after a while, like when they grow older and you don't draw together with them anymore. I think it might get lost. Somewhere,
yeah.
But
I think it's a key, man. I mean, drawing together is. I think you're right, dude. Like, I think that's the key.
Yeah. Especially since, I mean, when you become a parent, then of course you have less time for yourself. So this is like this is also a way to get a little bit of time for yourself while spending time with your kids. So
yeah.
And it's always, you need to manage your time differently, and you need to, when you have free time, you need to use the time better than you did before. You cannot waste so much time anymore. I mean, you know this. You have three kids, but
I suck at managing my time.
See that with one, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're totally
it's
right.
More
like,
difficult.
I never figured that how to manage my time. I never figured that out, so. That's another thing. If you know that, yeah,
no,
it's hard.
I still can't do it. I'm still trying and I'm failing a lot. So,
yeah,
I think I need to get a little bit older and wiser.
I don't think anything can help the artist who cannot manage their time. I think we're destined to be poor managers of time, because it's also where like magic happens, right? Like you're supposed to be preparing for something or going somewhere, or you promised the family you would take him out to dinner, but you're like in the middle of adding this really great border to your piece of art, you know, and they're like, come on, Dad. You're like, I know I can't, I'm sorry. It just, you never know when the magic is going to strike. And sounds terrible, but it's tough to be the dad who can manage his time wisely and be a good artist. Just they kind of conflict.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Totally, totally true.
Well, and something especially that I was thinking. Oh, yeah. Sorry. No, go for it. No.
Yes, especially since I work best the later the day, you know, like at night, I can work best, because then I don't know, I just feel more calm and more relaxed, you know, when it's dark and everybody, or at least it feels like everybody's gone to bed, and it's just me and my, I don't know, my iPad or whatever. But that's the time when I'm, yeah, like when you're a parent, you're like really tired.
Yeah.
And you're, it's just more difficult to stay awake long enough to let the magic happen, you know.
Totally.
So yeah, I've been going to bed like oftentimes like before midnight, and like a couple of years ago I went to bed like 3 or 4 in the morning. I used to draw like all the night, and I just can't do this anymore, because then I'm just like the next day I'm just I feel like crap.
Yeah, it's a terrible feeling. I'm going through it right now. I stayed up too late last night or this morning. It's what puts the white in the beard. I honestly is the staying up late. Yeah. So if you're going to bed naturally at before midnight, stick with that, man.
Yeah. I think that's not a bad place to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, something that I thought was interesting about like when you were talking about drawing with your son is it must be really cool to like watch, because I experienced this with my sister. So I used to dance in high school. Like I danced my whole life until I was 18 years old, like every single day. And my little sister is 15 now. And it's so, I always told her I was really mean as a child. And I would tell her like, you're not allowed to dance on my team until I graduate, because like, I don't want you around, which is horrible. So yeah. Mean to say to my sister, love her to death. But it's so cool now, like watching her fall in love with the sport, because I graduated 2016. So she was like, I don't know how old she was. She was probably like 10 or 11 when she like really started dancing and like getting really into it.
Is this like drill team or?
It's like, did you ever watch Dance Moms?
Yeah.
Or like, are you familiar with the concept? Okay. That's like basically what I did. So I was a competitive dancer. So I did like every style and it was fun. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Little fun fact. I used to love it. But yeah, so it's so fun, like watching her fall in love with dance and like watching her really enjoy it. And I was back in my hometown for like a couple weeks in June, and they had their auditions for the team while I was home. And so my old dance coach, who's like now her dance coach, was like, oh, like you should come and judge auditions. Like all the girls are really intimidated by you. So like, you should come and judge and like scare them. It's like, great. Yeah. Sounds great. Love that. But it was so cool watching her dance and like watching her really enjoy herself and like get in that zone that I remember so well of being, you know, like 15, 16 and just like loving this sport and like art. And it's really weird because she like moves like me and we never danced together. But like when I watch her dance, I'm like, she looks like me. Like we have the same movement quality and like, yeah, our technique's a little different and like the way we do certain things is different. But like watching her dance feels like watching myself dance. And it's really interesting. And I can imagine that like with your children, it must be a similar feeling of like watching them draw and like discover their creativity is really cool, because, you know, you find those similarities, and also watching how like they develop differently is really, really interesting.
Yeah. It can get scary. As I can speak to this just because the 17-year-old, I'm really far down this path.
Yeah.
And it's scary sometimes, like the way he was talking about waves in San Diego, like how just everything about the kid. It's like, holy crap, like you're me.
Yeah.
It's weird. And it will, dude, as your son gets older, it will scare you a little bit because you can't help. Again, that's just me. I think I'm a negative person. I can't help but see like the bad things that are associated with my old behaviors and what I'm seeing in him, when really I've got to see that that was me. And he's actually taking all of the good that this talent can offer being an artist, and he's not making the same mistakes I'm making, which is a beautiful thing. We won't get into my past, but I made some huge mistakes, and this kid's not doing that. He's going about it the right way. So that, I guess that's a good thing. So yes, I can see, I know what you're talking about. It's weird.
It's so weird. It's really cool though. And like, it's just so exciting.
I cannot see it yet, but I think I will probably, like in a couple of years, I will see the similarities probably. I mean, the older I get, the more I see like the resemblance, or like the resemblance with my father.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like the looks is crazy. And sometimes when I see a photo of myself, I think it's a photo of my father, or like the other way around. Like when I see old photos of my father, he looks like me exactly, which is crazy.
Is your dad an artist?
No, he's not. He's a computer. He's an IT guy.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm.
So, but he has some drawing talent, I think. I mean, he used to, I remember like from being a child that he was always very good at drawing horses, which I could never draw, which is like one of the hardest things to draw. Totally. But he was kind of good at drawing horses. So that's what I remember.
Is that where the drawing talent comes from? Or can your mom draw?
Not really. I think so. The person who can draw the best, like from my family, is probably my grandfather.
Mm.
Yeah,
he used to. So he has a lot of drawings, or like watercolor paintings from his travels, like from Venice, or from his. So he used to go hiking a lot. So he has a lot of drawings and paintings from this time. He's cool. Very talented, but he just always did it for himself, just for pleasure, for fun.
Yeah. The old schoolers knew how to do it. Where it's like, how could we turn it into a profession? So I
was going to say, you guys are the crazies that said, how can I make money off of this?
Yeah. Well, good for us. Good. What really the hell, Andrea?
No, money. I agree. I love you guys. And I think what you're doing is awesome. It's just funny.
Yeah, no, it is.
Awesome. Well, as we wrap up here, Binet, this was lovely. And I really liked kind of, again, diving deeper into like what makes your work, because I don't think we've gotten enough time to discuss this before. But my last question for you is just, where can the people find you and your work?
Well, they can find me on Instagram, at Bene, B-E-N-E. Then how you call this? Underscore. Underscore? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So B-E-N-E underscore Rollman. That's R-O-H-L. M-A-N-N.
Love it.
And also on Behance, under the same name. I also have a website, BeneRollman.com.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here, Benet. It was so wonderful.
Thanks so much for having me. I would love to keep talking to you guys. It's really pleasant and really nice.
I'm so happy.
To just chat.
We can always do it again.
I was very nervous before, but now I'm just really relaxed and I'm enjoying this very much.
I am too. And I also really like the tone of your voice, dude. Like it's very calming. We're going to have you on again, especially since you've given us the permission to ask you on again by saying you've enjoyed this.
Sure.
Excellent.
Of course.
Thanks for tuning in to the Closer and Closer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review to receive the latest episodes. You don't want to miss some of the incredible conversations that we have coming up. They'll be full of powerful insight to help you reach your full creative potential. To find out more about us, visit www.closerandcloser.co.